On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, we wrap up the best net of the 2010s bracket. Who will it be? We've got Brook Lopez, Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, and Joe Johnson. One will emerge victorious. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So let's start. On the left side, we've got Brook Lopez taking on Spencer Dinwiddie. Josh, you mentioned Brook. You saw him not really facing much competition until the finals. It's the final four here, so does that mean you're taking Brook here?
Still taking Brook. Dinwiddie, I think, can put up a decent fight, but Brook, again, I mean, the body of work he has with the net and how sentimental he is for the fan base really just makes him unrivaled at this point. And I think he gets a huge boost because the 09-10 season was his second year with the Nets and was able to play with them until the 16-17 season. So he just has the longevity that really no one else does, being the longest tenured Net. So I have to go with him over Spencer, who, you know, had a great run. I love the guy. I think many good years for ahead for Dinwiddie, either with the Nets or other teams in the NBA, but he can't match up to Brook here.
Yeah, Drexler, do you agree with this one?
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm taking Brook. Good run for Spencer, though. If you were to tell me before this all started, without looking at the bracket off the top of my head, who are my top four Nets of the 2010s, I don't think I would put Spencer Dinwiddie in that, or he wouldn't come to my mind first off. So I think this was a really, really strong showing for Spencer, but it ends here at the hands of Brook Lopez.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dinwiddie, the only guy in this Final Four who never made an All-Star team with the Nets, at least at this point. Lopez made one, Joe Johnson made one, and D'Angelo Russell made one. And for Dinwiddie, you know, I think like what Josh said is a good point. Like, there's still time for him with the Nets, hopefully, and if not, then somewhere else to make even more of an impact in the league. Similar to LeVert, Dinwiddie also improved his scoring every year, 7 points per game his first year, then 12.5, then 17, and then was averaging 20.5 points per game this season. What surprised me about him, only 32.7% from three in his Nets career, which was, I thought it would be higher. I feel like he is a good shooter, but I guess he takes a lot of tough shots as well. Dinwiddie also second in assists, sixth in steals, fourth in threes made, and Josh, seventh in blocks for the Nets this decade. The Nets have not had a lot of shot blockers, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who were our shot blockers.
Yeah, Brooke, I mean,
Mason Plumlee is coming out for the Nets this decade.
Yeah, after Brook, it goes Jared Allen, Chris Humphreys, and then fourth is Rondé, fifth is Plumlee, like you mentioned, Drexler, then Blatch, then Dinwiddie, Deron Williams, Joe Harris, and rounding out the top 10, Johan Petro, who just missed out on being included in this bracket. Johan Petro, by the way, just a quick note before we move on, one of four Nets who played 100-plus games in the 2010s and did not make the bracket. The other ones, Quincy Acey, Markel Brown, and Josh's boy, Reggie Evans. All those guys played over 100 games with the Nets in the 2010s, but are not in this bracket.
I hated Markel Brown.
Markel the Shell. He started for them in a playoff series against Atlanta.
Yeah, it was not enough, though.
Yeah, because they like wanted him for defense, and he was so bad.
Wow. 2014, right?
Yep.
Damn.
Jeez. Yeah. So there's some forgettable names. One more note, if I'm just going to keep burning Petro for a second. And this serves as like a sort of a natural transition. He played seven more games than D'Angelo Russell in the 2010s for the Nets, yet Russell outscored him 2,455 to 533, basically quadrupling him, almost quintupling him in scoring. Johan Petro, I'm sorry if you're listening. No, nothing personal, just some stats. You know, the numbers don't lie.
I think D'Angelo was underseeded just a little bit as well.
Yes. Yeah. He just didn't play very long with the Nets. But
right. Yeah.
Keeping D'Angelo in our minds, let's move to his matchup here in the Final Four. The 7 seed D'Angelo Russell, the only non-chalk member of this Final Four. He will be taking on Joe Johnson for a spot in the finals with Brook Lopez. Drexler, I know you're a big D'Lo guy, but only 129 games as a Net in the decade. Is that enough for you to put him past Joe Johnson?
So this one was actually really close. I think what it comes down to for me, it is the longevity, the four seasons for Joe, the two for D'Angelo. If it was crazy, I might have put D'Angelo ahead of him, but the margins are only two. They're not enough, I would say, for me to put D'Angelo over Joe. Joe averaged 15. He played in some playoff games for the Nets. He averaged 15 points per game during his 4 years with Brooklyn, while D'Angelo averaged 19. D'Angelo had a better shooting percentage, but again, just the fact that Joe played two extra seasons and played in meaningful games as well as D'Angelo is going to give him the slight nod over D'Lo.
Josh, you agree with that?
I do. This was a tough one, but have to give the nod to Joe. I think this is also an interesting comparison when you're looking at the stats component of this, because Joe Johnson was a guy that was used to having the ball in his hands all the time with Atlanta. And then when he came to the Nets, his usage definitely declined because you had a point guard there in Deron Williams, who was the guy, versus D'Lo, who was basically able to have full control over the ball because when the Nets acquired him, they were giving him the keys to the car. And he was basically encouraged to have everything run through him in Kenny Atkinson's system. So I give Joe the nod here. Just, again, longevity, consistency, and some nice playoff success. You know, that team that lost to the Bulls the first year he was here in that brutal seven games. Marcus, you were at my house for that game. It wasn't his fault, you know. C.J. Watson blew the series earlier by trying to dunk it instead of laying it in, and he was really the one guy in the Nets that was very consistent and showed up while others kind of disappointed. So, you know, he was always a very solid player for the Nets and just kind of came towards the twilight of his career, but still does enough to get the nod over D'Lo for me.
Yeah, you mentioned that Bulls series. Joe Johnson kind of didn't play well in Game 7. He shot the ball terribly, but then the following playoffs, 2014, he was unbelievable. 19, 3.5, and 3. And then in the first round, put up in Games 5 and 7, 26 points, then 32 points to win both of those games in must-win situations. Then in the second round against the Heat, the Nets lost in 5, but not because of Johnson. He had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists per game, and in a losing effort in Game 5, put up 34, 7, and 3. He was remarkably consistent, and like you said, Josh, he like had to adjust to a new role, whereas D'Angelo just had a ton of time and a ton of opportunity to make his mark. And just one last thing on D'Lo, despite only playing 129 games as a Net, still 4th in assists, 10th in steals, 5th in threes made for the Nets in the decade. That Kings comeback was incredible with him and Rondé leading the charge, made an all-star team, put Brooklyn back on the map, but it is not quite enough. And so our finals, we've got Joe Johnson against Brook Lopez. Josh, start us off here. ISO Joe or the Brookie Monster? Who you got?
I've been saying it all, really all tournament, that I don't think Brook Lopez has much competition, and I have to give it to him. You know, the same points that we said gave Joe Johnson the nod over D'Lo were really consistency and tenure, and Brook has those in spades and well over Joe. I think Brook kind of got derailed and had a bad rap when he had those foot injuries. But if you look at him, you know, his first three seasons, plays 82 games each year and was playing a ton of minutes, like 35. Then he had those foot injuries, but then was able to rebound into being a really consistent player who was on the court all the time, developed his three-point shot under Kenny Atkinson. So, you know, I think his lead at number one in terms of point score would actually be even higher if he didn't have a coach that hated him irrationally in Lionel Hollins. So, you know, Brook is the preeminent Net of this decade and wins it handily over a guy in ISO Joe who put up a great fight in getting this far, but just can't match what Brook's done.
Drexler, you taking Brook to win this thing?
I am. This is, I think, where it's time to give Brook his love. Again, like Josh said, I think this is kind of an easy decision. Brook, 9 years with the Nets, averaged like 19 points per game over those 9 years, over 50% shooting from the field, all-time franchise leading scorer. Just no other net this decade even compares to the body of work that Brook Lopez has with Brooklyn. So he deserves his time in the limelight. Obviously, we're going to turn the page here once Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and the NBA get back and resume. They're going to be kind of the faces of the Nets. I'll be talking about them. But the 2010s, they belong to Brook Lopez, and he deserves that. That recognition, because he was nothing but a saint in his time with the Nets.
Yeah, seems like a great guy by all accounts. Like you guys mentioned, just to list off all of his accomplishments for the Nets this decade in those seven seasons, 7,834 points, most in the decade, 2,631 rebounds, most in the decade, 682 blocks, most in the decade, was also third in steals, seventh in assists. Despite not really like being known for those categories, made the All-Star team, so consistent between 17 and 21 points every season that he played for the Nets in the decade. Great contributions in that playoff series against the Bulls, 22.5 with 3 blocks per game. And then in the 2015 playoffs, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks a game, 39 minutes a game, 49% from the field, 82.5% from the line. Could really do every single thing on a court. And also, just one note, Josh, you mentioned his scoring could be even higher if not for coaching. Also, if Brook had been more of a three-point shooter back then, he could have had even more points. Like, he, in his playoff career with the Nets, only one three-point attempt in his entire Nets career in the playoffs. He was not really taking threes back then. If he had that other dimension in his game a little bit earlier, maybe he could have been even higher.
Anyway. Unfortunately,
yeah, he played in a couple playoffs, but yeah, just one 3-point attempt in all those games. So he wasn't really taking it, and you just wonder, like, if he had added that to his game sooner, maybe he could have been like a, I don't know, like a Karl Anthony Towns type of offensive player.
He's what has like probably one of the best touches from a big man I've ever seen. Like, it is insane, and it's so awkward, especially when he'll drive in from 3-point line, but his footwork is incredible, and his touch is so good that he makes it work. And like, also his ability to catch balls in traffic, like, he had just some skills for a big man that you don't really, that you're not able to teach. And on the, he's not the traditional big man by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a really good shot blocker. And some of the things that he was able to do, I think, make him a really underappreciated player, and was one of the reasons why he was such a devastating, good all around offensive player.
Yeah, Brook Lopez, definitely the most iconic net of the 2010s and also the best net of the 2010s. Joe Johnson, just to give him a little love, also top five, fifth in rebounds, assists, he's third, points, he's third, steals, he's fifth, threes made, he's second, kind of contributing all across the board despite playing only 3.5 seasons with the Nets, making one all-star team. Just like one of the most consistent players, like, of this century in the NBA, I feel like. Just a guy who, from start to finish, like, he was overpaid for some of those years, but I feel like the production was always solid. Like, it wasn't a case of, like, there's certain guys who get paid a ton and contribute nothing. And Joe Johnson never did that, even when he was overpaid. He always brought it, he always contributed. So I feel like he's a worthy representative in these finals against Brook. Although I think it was clear it was going to be Lopez the whole time. Josh, before we wrap up, I think we all expected Brook Lopez to win this, but did the rest of the bracket kind of go as you expected? Were there anything that caught you off guard in this one?
No, I think this was pretty chalky. Obviously, I had Devin Harris making it to the Final Four. I had Thad Young beating D Will in the Sweet 16, which you guys did not agree with me on. But most of it kind of held true to form. And I think especially, you know, you have a lot of these seedings based on point score, but I think the kind of reputation of these players is pretty firm in most fans' minds. Doesn't necessarily align with the point score totals, but I think for the most part, the three of us were all on the same page, similar to the bracket I had filled out.
Yeah, a couple upsets, but for the most part, pretty straightforward. Drexler, what did you think of all this?
This was fun. I think the result with Brook Lopez winning, I think, wasn't much of a shock, but I think seeing some of the names and the memories come back from some of the guys like Trevor Booker or Andre Blatch, Mirza Teletovic, those type of guys, Gerald Wallace. Some of the memories may not be good, but it's interesting to think back at some of those players and think about just watching them play every single night.
Yeah, there's a lot of names. Josh and I did briefly consider, I think I considered it more than him, stretching this to 64 people, which would have been a little insane. We could have gotten to Sundiata Gaines, a little Randy Foy action.
I was going to say, Sundiata Gaines, that's a great, great comeback name. Throwback name.
Yeah, we decided to spare the listeners of that. wound up with 32, and I think that was the right number. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to you, Matthew Drexler, for coming on to join Josh and I on the podcast. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Nets. Josh is at JMBass_. I'm at Marcus Barrahall. Drexler, do you want to plug anything before we wrap up?
Love the podcast. Keep doing your thing. I think the Nets, you're going to get a really, really good buzz around the podcast and just around the Nets next season. So I'm really looking forward to what's in store for you guys.
Yeah, hopefully some wins. Hopefully some basketball would be nice just in general. Josh, did I miss anything or are we good?
No, I mean, are we going to do a bracket with just the 33 through 64 players and then have a final championship game between Brooke Lopez and that winner?
I feel like that would kind of be like having the G League champion play the NBA champion. I feel like we know how Sean Livingston versus Brooke Lopez would go.
Livingston didn't make the final 32.
He was 34, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of I'll read off a couple of the names that were not included. Livingston, who I mentioned, Kyrie Irving was 40th. He made a very strong push considering he only played 20 games. Jeremy Lin, 42nd. A lot of injuries, but definitely memorable. Shabazz Napier, 56 games, was not quite enough. DeAndre Jordan, also 56 games, not quite enough. Ed Davis, Tyler Zeller, Jared Dudley, TLC, even 62nd. And then Wilson Chandler, Theo Pinson, some of the current guys didn't quite make the cut. Who'd you say?
Shingelia? Togo Shingelia?
He's not even showing up for me.
Wow. What?
Did he play this decade?
Maybe he looked like Shingelia.
Shogo, as I called him.
He scored 50 points in that uniform.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I see. Yeah, this is. I'm only looking at the top 100, which stops at Chris Chioza, who had 57 points. So that is why he did not show up. Shout out to Chris Chioza, though. He was playing well.
Swiss cheese.
Yeah, maybe we'll see more of him. Even Nick Claxton, 95th on this list. So maybe he'll be in
Nick
the 2020s.
Really got- It's scary to think that if you did a bracket of 64, he would have had a case.
Tyshawn Taylor would have been on the bubble. Jean and Musa, Jahlil Okafor. A lot of names in here. but we're getting off the rails. Let's wrap this thing up. For Matthew Drexler and Josh Bass, I've been your host, Marcus Barrahall. We will speak to you soon. Until then, be well.